great motive through this whole thing, fear. And, you know, the Bible says in Timothy, 1 Timothy, it says, or 2 Timothy 1, 7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And you said, well, you don't want to be stupid. You don't want to be stupid. You don't want to go around somebody who's got some kind of, the coronavirus. But in Matthew chapter 10, get that in one hand and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Matthew chapter 10, it's just talking about fear. I was talking to somebody about fear. Now, fear is a great motive, man. I mean, a motivator is a motivator. Fear is a motivator, and you have fear. You know, the Bible says, and you read your Bible, you read Proverbs, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of God is the beginning of understanding. And I'd say this, this is what I've prayed for since I've been saved. I said, put the fear of God in me. You say, well, I shouldn't pray that. You shouldn't pray that. Yeah, I think it's fine. Because the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. People worried about their job, they fear man. They fear what man thinks and what man says and all that stuff. And I'm not against doctors or none of that stuff. You know that. I go to a doctor, but they're practicing. They don't. It's like I watched Governor Cuomo. But Cuomo, he said this the other night. I can't believe he said it. He said, we found out all the experts were wrong. He said it. Now, the Democrat said it. He said, all the experts are wrong. And what it is fear will make you do things that you wouldn't normally do. It'll make you move. It'll move you. But you said, what's the greatest motive? Is love. Love is, the Bible says perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. So, and I'm not saying this to anybody if you're watching online that you're not in church and you're fearing all that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying everybody needs to make their own mind up and do what they need to do. But I say this, you need to pray God put the fear of God in you. Say, Lord, help me have the fear of God. And 1 Timothy, look at this, 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 2, look what it says. And the Bible talks about fear and the fear of man. And what happens is you start, you're worrying about this. And then they was talking about people turning each other in for not having a mask and people calling the police on other people for not, coming. They come into place. And I realized this. When you go into a store, if they don't say something to you about the mandatory mask wearing, if they allow you in there, they can lose their license. So you got to respect that. You got to respect them for trying to take care of their own livelihood. And I'm not going to go in there and just defy them and not wear a mask. I wear a mask if I go in. They require a mask. I went in a couple places this week. I forgot the mask. I walked in and I forgot my mask. And I went ahead and got what I had to get. And I said, hey, I'm sorry, I forgot my mask. But, they none of them were two people were in a mask, and that was it. And but look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And there's a spirit behind this thing that's going on. There's a spirit behind it. It'll cause you to be scared to death. I mean, I'm going to die. And we're all going to die. We're all going to die. But you say, well, I don't want to be foolish. No, you don't want to be foolish either. But you need to have wisdom. You need to have, and be careful what you do. If you got underlying health issues, I've been around people ever since this thing been going on. I've done funerals. I was with Gary Lutrick over there. Mike was too, Mike and Ruth and Linda. And Gary Lutrick come down with the coronavirus. We was praying over another brother. We was there ordaining the guy. And then we find out Gary Lutrick got it. He said, did I lay awake at night fearing and worrying? No, I didn't. I didn't worry about it. You know why? I've been down the road enough to see how God's taking care of me. And I've been down the road enough to see that what God's done for me. And God's taking care of me in the middle of fires and busts on my head, accidents, even before I was saved. And safety is of the Lord. God is, safety is of God. Now, somebody's got the flu and somebody's got some coughing, you don't want to get around. You say, back off, and wash your hands. You know what? Dr. Burke said this. She said, the best thing anybody could do is just make sure you wash your hands. Wash your hands. Just wash your hands. That goes way back. During the Dark Ages, the Jews were persecuted because the Europeans, they were eating their meat without washing it, and they were doing all that stuff. And the Jews were eating the meat. They were washing it. And that's when you're talking about the Black Plague came along, killed all the Europeans. And they started blaming the Jews for it. What it is, they were sanitized. The Jews sanitized their stuff. They took care of their cleaning of the meat and all that stuff, and they just took care of it. And if you're wise and wash your hands and be careful what you touch, and when you go home, and they say, don't touch your face. And now they're going on Donald Trump for walking around. They show Joe Biden walking with a mask going to the memorial, and then they show Donald Trump without a mask. They said, see, he don't care. Look at that. Look at that. Just trying to drive more fear in people. And it's just a drive a wedge. And the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a what? Sound mind. Well, if you fear about everything, you lose your mind. Yeah. If you fear about everything, you'd be afraid to go outside and go out in the world, man. You'd be scared to death. Because it caused you to go crazy. Some of the craziest people I've run into is people with fear of everything. They have fear of, dying and what the Bible says, if you're saved, look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. Look in Matthew chapter 10. You're saved. You ain't got fear about dying. If you're saved, like I said, when I was laying under, nobody wants to die. I didn't want to die. When that bus was on my head, I'm laying under, I was going, God help me. God help me. God help me. I could hear my bones cracking and breaking and the blood filling my eyes and all that stuff. I said, God help me. And that was on a Tuesday. And Brother Jim was with me on Monday, and he said, you going to be all right by yourself on Tuesday? I said, sure, I'll be fine. We were working on the bus, putting brakes on it. And I was fine. God took care of me. He was teaching me something, amen? And he's always teaching you something. God's always there. Look what the Bible says. It says in Matthew chapter 10, and look at verse 26. Fear them not, therefore. Or back up to verse 23. And when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. That's the promise Jesus Christ telling the Jews that he's going to come back. And he said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. He said, when they persecute you in one city, flee to another. That's in the tribulation period. That's that seven-year period there. And he tells the Jews, look at verse 22. A lot of people, they try to say this is salvation right here for your for this age. It's not. Verse 22, it says, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Everybody hates the Jews. We don't hate them. We're saved. You're saved. You shouldn't hate the Jewish people. You should pray for them. The Jewish people were enemies of Jesus Christ. And they hate Jesus Christ. And they don't even want to acknowledge him now. But I don't hate the Jews. And when it was in Israel, we love the Jews. We pray for the Jews. He said, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Talking about disciples and the Jews being who they are. He said, but ye shall be endured. He that endured to the end, same the end shall be saved. That that's a tribulation. And it says, but when they persecute in the city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel. Notice Israel. Till the Son of Man become. So when we talk about the second advent of Jesus Christ, talking about the Lord coming back, it's conditioned on what Israel's doing, because the whole judgment is on Israel. It's talking about the 70 years, the 70th year, the seven-year tribulation period. That's what this is here. And it's the 70th year is called this Jacob's trouble. And it's conditioned on the Lord coming back. It's on Israel. It's on him. It's on them, I mean. And so I always watch it. I was thinking about the other day, Israel just celebrated their 52 or 53 years of having Jerusalem. And I thought maybe it's the time it's conditioned on that. But Israel just became a nation in 1948. They're 72 years old. The nation is. So we're trying to figure out what I know this is close. So how do you know it's close? Well, look what we just had, a world pandemic. I mean, the whole world shut down. Nobody's ever seen that in our age. Nobody's ever seen it. And it was over. A lot of it's real. It's a real pandemic. I mean, it was real. A virus. It's real. It's a real deal. But the whole world shut down, and a lot of people died. I mean, Cuomo, he sent all the people back. He didn't know. They sent all the people back to the nursing home. That's why all the nursing home folks died. They sent them back with the coronavirus, back to the nursing homes. So they say all these people are dying in the nursing home. Why? They sent them back there with a virus. And nobody didn't know. And but here he says the Son of Man coming until Israel. He said it won't happen. This is going to happen. You won't be. This is talking about the second advent right here. It's talking about the Lord coming back to fight for Israel. He said, when is that? Look in Revelation 19. Look in Revelation 19. Now I'm not saying this is going to happen right now. I'm not saying that. The rapture takes place first. Y'all know that. The rapture takes place, and then 7 years going to be hell on earth. How men say, oh, this is hell on earth. This is hell on earth. And I tell them, if this is hell, this is the only part of hell I ever see. Yep. This is only, this looks pretty good to me. This looks pretty good. And I said, if you're not saved, this is the only part of heaven you'll ever see. So Revelation chapter 19, talking about the Lord coming back. Look at Revelation 19, verse 11. And this is after the rapture and up in heaven. We've already went to the judgment seat of Christ. We already went to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then in verse 11, it says, I saw heaven open. When heaven opens up, brother, something's about ready to come out or go in. And he says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. The Lord's the man of war. The Bible says in Exodus, God's a man of war. He's going to come back. Why? All the world's going to mount up and go against him. That's why they kicked him out of school. They kicked him out of government. They can't mention the name of Jesus Christ. And they hate Trump for even talking about Jesus Christ and God. They hate that. They hate that. Billy Graham, when he prayed, Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, when after 9/11, he prayed. Some of y'all, I don't know if you remember that. He prayed in Jesus' name, and there was lawsuits because he prayed in Jesus' name. You know why that was? Because we were in bed with Saudi Arabia and all the Arabs and all that stuff. And the Bible says, hurt not the oil and the wine. So look here. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His head, I'm glad I'm on his side. Amen. I'm glad I'm on the right side. If you're saved, you're on the right side. If you ain't saved, you're on the wrong side, baby. You're on the wrong side. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written. So where did he get them crowns from? If you read back in your Bible, Revelation 4. Read back in Revelation 4, the 4 and 20 elders are throwing their crowns at the feet. And those that are saved, if you have a reward, you'll be able to give Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I want you to take it. You're the one that did it. You deserve it all. Anything good you do is he's doing it through you. Yeah, amen. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so important. His name is called the Word of God. And the devil hates the Word of God, even though he knows it. It says he called the Word of God. And it says, you know what the Bible calls Jesus Christ? It says his name, that no man knew but he himself. And it says he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Look over, hold your place there. Look at First John, or look at John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1. The Word of God is so important in a Christian's life. It's your food. It's your strength, man. That's why if you're watching, if you got saved, read your Bible, man. Get you a King James Bible and read it. Read it. Verse 11 of John chapter 1, it says, he came unto his own received it not. That's talking about the Jews. But as many as received him gave him power to become the sons of God, even them that believed on his name. Back up, look at verse 2. No, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, you can't separate God from his Word. God, his Word is important. That's why all these new Bibles come on the market trying to water it down, trying to take away his Word. There are 30-some thousand changes in new Bibles. 30 from a King James Bible, 30,000 changes. Take away the deity of Jesus Christ. Take the blood out, all that. To go back to Revelation 19. Look at this. Talking about fear. You talking about, the Bible says, at this time when this happens, it says men are going to be crying out and hiding under rocks for fear. They were on the wrong side. Men are going, the kings of the earth and all the so-called smart, people that hate God, the Bible says they're going to climb under rocks and mountains and cry out to the rocks that fall on them to hide them from him. Look, it says, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. You know what people say to you? People say, well, what about the people that never heard? And I said, you go back in your Bible, when Noah got off that ark, all them boys, his boys and his daughter-in-laws, they all knew who God was. They all knew. They knew God brought them through the flood. Yep. Guess what? Somebody dropped the ball. They didn't pass the word down to their families. No fear of God in their eyes. You pray for the fear of God. I pray for the fear of God in all my children, grandchildren. I pray, God, put the fear, and you too, I pray that same thing. God, put the fear of God in. You know why? The fear of the Lord will keep you doing what's right, thinking right. Yep. Fear of man will bring a snare in your life. You're worried to death about everything. Fear of God, you'll just trust the Lord. Look here. It says, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that it should smite the nations. He said, what's going to happen to all these countries of the world? Yeah, I think right now there's 215-20 nations in the world. When Jesus Christ told Simon Peter, he said, draw the net in, draw the net in. And they counted the fish, it was 153. And that if that represented nations, 153, there's 200 some now. But it says, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that it should smite the nations, that and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Amen. Righteous judgment, man. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And you say, where is that going to take place? That's going to take place in Armageddon. It's going to take place there. He hath on his vesture and his on his thigh a name written, and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So God has not given us a spirit of fear. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But the Bible does, you say, what's the difference in fear? The difference is fear God or fear man. Fear God, why? Because the Bible tells you right here why. If a man fears God, he'll call on his son and he'll honor. You know what? But what made America, most people don't know what this, they don't teach this in school. What made America great was this book right here, was this Bible. They said, no, because of all the people that came. No, they came with a Bible in their hands, the pilgrims. They came with a Bible. Our laws were established from the Word of God. There was men that were in charge that feared God, that wrote the Constitution of the United States. Feared God. You say, were they perfect? No, they weren't perfect. Those men weren't perfect. They, you know, you can find fault with those men, but they feared God. So look at back up to Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 20. For it is not ye that he's telling those folks. He said, well, back up to verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Talking about the city that won't hear his word. And look at verse 14. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, even ye, and when ye depart out of the house or city, to shake off the dust of your feet. I've done that before. People, man. I know they're talking about cities and the Jews and all that stuff, but I've done that. But it says, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. We are sheep. That's what we are. We're a bunch of sheep. We're dumb sheep. That's what we are. We're relying on a master, on our chief shepherd to watch over us. God put pastors in the churches to be able to help guide sheep. But we're sheep. We need guidance. Thank God he didn't liken us to serpents or dogs. You know, the Bible says without our dogs. He didn't liken it. I mean, he liked a lost man to a dog. He likens a lost woman to a pig in the Bible. And he likens those Pharisees, the religious people, he likens them to serpents. He said, you bunch of serpents? That's what you think they liked Jesus? You know, you think everybody loved him? No, they hated his guts. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. What went on in Sodom and Gomorrah? A bunch of fornicating. Sodomites and homosexuals and lesbians, all that stuff. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogue. Ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my name, my sake. for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. We as Americans haven't gone through nothing. We haven't gone through nothing. We are so blessed that kids are talking about being raised in a Christian home. We are so blessed. If you're sitting here, you think you got it bad, you're just a spoiled brat. That's all you are. And I'm a spoiled brat. If I think I got it bad, I'm a spoiled brat. We are spoiled in that sense. And being born in America, man, we got all the blessing. We can still drive through Wendy's and Chick-fil-A. They're closed on Sunday. But we can still drive through them places, man, and get something to eat. We're blessed. Don't act like you know, we're deprived. I can't wait for the Mexican restaurant to open back up. I can go inside and sit down. I want the Mexican restaurant to open up. And I wanted the mall to open back up so I can get my Japanese. But he says, look at verse 19. We're blessed, man. We are blessed. And it says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. Talking about the Jews going before the judgment of this world. For it is not for ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And brother shall deliver up brother to death. Who was it? Vince Massa sent me a video. That guy, Kevin James, you know, that funny guy, Kevin James. He's got a video out. And it's like, oh man, 30 seconds. And he's got him running through the woods with helicopters overhead. How many of y'all have ever seen it? You seen it? Yeah. Well, he's running through the woods with some girl and he's running through the woods and helicopters and the cops are all over the place and the flashlights and everything. It's in the middle of the night and they're down behind a tree and goes, he's going, I can't. And they're talking to each other, and he said, man, we almost got caught. I think we're surrounded. And they go back to show he's sitting in a park, and all of a sudden people come up, and they got their cell phones. And they go, there's something right there. They don't have a mask on. And they start videoing. That's the whole thing, where he's running through the woods, running from the police and everything because they're going to lock him up for not having a mask. And it was funny. It was funny. But look here. Look back. Y'all a bunch of wicked people. You seen that thing? I had to look at it. Brother Massa sent it to me. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how you or what should you go. Verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and father unto child. And children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. I mean, man, we're getting to that point. We're getting up there. See, it's always steps. No, it's not going to happen like boom. It's a steps. Steps. And this coronavirus thing is a step. It's a step towards the mark. It's a step to prepare the world for the mark. See, when Trump got in, he messed everything up. He's a nationalist. And he put a wall up and all that stuff. That messed everything up. They want it wide open. This generation of kids coming up, they don't know no better. They don't know nothing about communism. And then you got all these, you know, the progressives, and they're saying, you know, we need to have everything, social welfare, social everything, social schools free. And that sounds good. Your kid, you go, wow, man, that's good. Everything free. Socialism. Bernie Sanders. Who would ever thought that guy would have came up in the polls in America? You know what Hillary Clinton said one time? I'm not trying to be political. I'm not trying to be. But Hillary said this one time. She said, the only way we can get our agenda passed is that generation, that baby boomers, they got to die off. And it made me wonder, why did they send them people back to them nursing homes? To kind of help die them off? I wondered about that. And look at this. Ye shall be hated of all men. And don't weary read that. But I'll finish up with this. Verse 27. I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. Fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body or soul and body in hell. Now, if you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. We're saved. But I don't have to worry about my body and soul being cast in the lake of fire. Amen. You know what Ecclesiastes says? It says, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands, if you love me. And his commands is, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel. I want to see people saved, red, yellow, black, or white. It makes no difference. I want to see them saved. See them living for God. And the fear of man bringeth a snare. And boy, I tell you what, I can see it. I can see it, and you all can see it. It's a step towards that. And when people start saying, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe that Bible. That Bible was written by man. So, well, explain this to me. Explain to where Israel loses their country and they get it back. There's no, you said, well, that's just happened. No, no country in history ever lost their country, ever got it back. 2,000 years went by and they got their country back. More than 2,000 years. And God, and you know what the Lord said? He said, when Israel, when that generation, look at this. Where is it? Somebody help me. It just came to my mind. Maybe it's right. It's in Matthew, I believe. Talking about that generation will not pass away till all these things come to pass. I had that thing marked. But I'll find it here in a second. 24:34. Look at verse 27. We'll go on down, read that. It says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, that's why whenever I preach a funeral, you notice all the, but most people don't know this, the graves are all facing towards the eastern sky. Somebody in there set it up that way. So when the resurrection takes place, the people that come up out of the grave, they're going to be facing the eastern sky. It's all over.
If it's a Christian graveyard.
If it's Christian, yeah.
They
ain't that way.
It's crazy.
If there was a Christian that set it up. Yeah. So as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Talking about the Armageddon there. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, that's tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I've had young people say, man, I'm scared to death. This is going to happen. Well, if you're saved, you'd be out of here. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man coming in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. And that the elect there is the Jews from one end of heaven to the other. And now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away. See that thing about a generation. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He said the generation, the way I interpret that is the generation that sees Israel become a nation. The generation that sees Israel becomes a nation. Israel became a nation in 1948. So the way I read that is that generation that seen Israel become a nation in 1948, even if they were born in 1948, it's not going to pass away before he comes. So you say, could it be 70 years? We thought Israel's 72 years old now. Could be 80. I just seen a man on the news the other night. He lived to be 100 years old. But a generation in the Bible is, Psalms 90 says 70 years. And if he's blessed, he'll get 80. So we're close, folks. I'm excited.